Apologies for my voice, I've got a touch of flu. I'm going to ask Barbara and Sarah to actually administer communion because I don't want anyone else catching. It's a nasty bit of nasty bug. Now, we read there, those two readings are quite interesting because they tell us a bit about the church, and that's what I want to think about today. Because when churches first appeared in the first century, when what Jesus had come to bring started to be established in communities, it was clear at the beginning that these were not the same thing as the synagogues that the Jewish people were familiar with. We hear there about Jesus going into a synagogue, and a synagogue in Nazareth, and speaking to them. But churches have always been different. And one very particular part of churches is that they're open to everyone. In that passage from 1 Corinthians, Paul writes, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit." The universal nature of church membership being open to everyone has always been a vital part of what we mean as church. But in order to really understand what Jesus intended for the churches that were to carry his name, the New Testament needs to use some analogies, some pictures for us. And one of the most powerful ones is the one that's used there in this reading from 1 Corinthians. It sees there the church as the body of Christ. It's a curious phrase, isn't it? To think of ourselves as the members of someone's body. But as you go in to look at this picture, you realize it is actually, in a sense, more than a picture. It is a description, if you like, of the reality of what it means to be church, that we are actually members of the body of Christ. And it tells us more about God's plans for his church, both in the first century when these words were written, but right through down the centuries to now and in the future. So each local church, like ourselves, we need to think of ourselves, if you like, as an expression of the body of Christ in this place. And we need to hang on to this picture because it's the most powerful one that we find in the New Testament if we want to understand what God's intention for us as a church. And the picture is lovely. It's obviously of a human body where we have different members that do different jobs, but who work together, if your body's working properly, to actually fulfill something far more than any single member could ever do. So the different members of our physical bodies have different roles, exactly as Paul speaks about there, about the ear and the eye and the nose and the hands and the feet and so on. God does bring people together with different gifts, different skills, different motivations, if you like, different ways of doing things. And it is the whole becomes much greater than the sum of the parts. And also there's this thing about looking after each other. If you think about it, if I cut my finger, I look after that. I use other fingers, if you like, to bandage it and to look after it. And that's the picture we're meant to think about as we look at each other. And we should see each other as members of the same body. And that we should have equal concern for each other as we have for ourselves. We should think of ourselves as these members of the body. But the picture goes further, doesn't it? It's not just the members of any old body, it's the body of Christ. It's the body of Jesus that we're meant to be. And the New Testament is quite clear that he's the head and we're the body, which means he's the one that's in charge. If my body's working properly, it does what my head tells it to do. That's the picture. And that's the picture that we should think about for ourselves as a church. That we should be connected to the head, to Jesus himself, and be hearing his voice and responding to what he calls us to do and to be. And I personally think, and I know this is perhaps a bit controversial, but I don't think a church needs a figurehead like myself. Someone who, if you like, stands, if you're almost in the place of Christ. That's not the New Testament picture at all. Every time you read about leadership in the New Testament, it's always in the plural. the one man ministry that we have grown up with isn't really what I believe Jesus intended for us. And it's great, and it really is great. And in my ministry, it's always been wonderful to work with so many different people, so that that genuinely we do see the life of the church being expressed, not just through the vicar, but through every member. And for those who've been called for with special responsibilities within the church, to see them at work, expressing the love of Christ out into the world, is exactly what Jesus intended. He intended for him to be the head, and for us to be the body, and for all the different members to express his love, who he is, out into the world. So Jesus does need people within the church to take on specific responsibilities. It's not a matter of saying we don't need any leadership, any human leadership, because we've got Jesus. We do need those within the church to take on specific responsibilities for parts of the church life. But it's very much a plural, very much a team thing. So that's why it says there, as God has appointed in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administration, various kinds of tongues. It's talking about, and it's by no means an exhaustive list, because there are other lists in the New Testament that go through different ministries, different giftings that people have. There's at least three of these lists of jobs in the church within the New Testament. And they're all different. They're all kind of overlapping, but they're different. Paul is never trying to say this is the definitive list of what you need in the church. He's telling us, though, that there are these different responsibilities, these different giftings that need to be expressed through the body of Christ. So there is this wonderful picture of the different members of the body taking up their responsibility, doing the job that's assigned to them, and together expressing what it means to be the body of Christ. But of course, it's also saying it's the body of Christ. So we should be corporately be expressing his nature out into the world. You know, think about it, when Jesus walked around on earth, he walked around in a physical body. That was the way he communicated to people. That's the way he showed what he was like. That's the way he actually did things, like just the same with all of us. And he's saying to us, this picture of the body of Christ is saying we should be doing the same things. We should somehow be expressing who Jesus is and what he's like corporately through what we do and what we say. And this is the mission of the church. So it's a lovely picture, isn't it, this idea of the body of Christ as to what we are. It helps us understand that what he gives us to do is actually really, really closely connected with his own person. What we've got to do as a church is not just to be a religious club. It's not just to be an association of like-minded people. It is quite literally to express his love in the same way that he did when he was physically on earth. Now, David Tomlinson, most of you know David, is our team rector. I spoke to him a few weeks ago, and he said he wanted to challenge us to see what we really believe God is calling us to do as a church. Perhaps there is something different, something that expresses God's infinite creativity. God doesn't do things always the same way. He is infinite in every respect, and he's infinite creatively. And he calls us to express that. So David has given us a challenge as a church to try to discern what Jesus may be calling us to do and to be. Is there something special that he wants All Saints Church to express about his nature? I'm going to talk a bit more about this at the PCC meeting on Tuesday. But it's not just for the PCC members. We're all members of the body of Christ. And any one of us can hear from Jesus, can be part of that communication from the head down to the body, that any one of us can hear him. We need to discern corporately whether that really is Jesus communicating to us. But he can speak through any one of us. I've certainly experienced Jesus speaking through the smallest child, helping us to realize that he's actually calling us to do something special and through the words and through the actions of even a child. And I don't have a monopoly on hearing the voice of God. That's a gifting that's spread right across his body. I have a role to do, though, I think, is to, if you like, discern and to check and to put things against what we read about in the Bible. To do what Peter did on the day of Pentecost, to say, this is what God is doing. And there it is down in black and white. And they fit together, and through that we can understand what he's calling us to do, to respond to his work in our lives. So, but we need to start with what we believe Jesus is saying to us here and now. So if you have a great idea and suspect it hasn't just come out of your imagination, but might actually have come from God himself, please do speak out. Speak to any member of the PCC or speak to me, and we can look and try together to discern what God may be saying to us. God, as I said, is infinitely creative, and he is always calling us into new things. All things are new with Christ. So if he's calling us into a new venture, then please do speak those words out. And together we'll discern what this expression, the body of Christ, needs to get into. Amen.